So let us turn in God's Word to the prophet Isaiah. And this morning we'll be considering Isaiah chapter 4, sorry, Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 4. And we will read at this time Isaiah 50 verses 4 to 7. Isaiah 50 verses 4 to 7. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Amen. So Isaiah chapter 50 verse 4, and the theme, a learned tongue. So in this chapter, and we considered the first three verses last Lord's Day, Israel's sins set before them. They were reminded that in spite of their objections, real or potential, that the problem was not with God, but with them. They had separated themselves from God by their sin. And now, from verse 4, the servant of the Lord speaks again. And in that sense, the answer to Israel's sin and that separation from God. So God has spoken in verse 3, I clothe the heavens with blackness, I make the sackcloth their covering. Then the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season, and so on. Now it's not the Lord speaking anymore, as in the Father, but it's not either Isaiah as a prophet, although there's application to him, and we see that in what follows, because this same speaker goes on in verse 5 to 7 and following to speak of his sufferings for the Lord and those things that the Lord would do for him. And that language is very much what we find in great detail in chapter 53 concerning Christ. And we see, as we turn to the gospel, we see these things fulfilled as regards Christ. Even that statement of him, therefore have I set my face like a flint, we read in the gospel of Christ. He set his face to go to Jerusalem. He was fixed on that purpose, to go and to suffer and to die for the salvation of his people. So it is Christ here in verse 4 that is speaking, and he speaks here of this learned tongue. A learned tongue being an instructed tongue, a tongue that's been taught and therefore can teach. And we see something from this verse of what this tongue is in that sense, this tongue of the learned, and also how it is gained. And I want to consider this verse under two headings today. Firstly, a learned tongue to heed, that is to listen to, and then secondly, a learned tongue to have. And by this division, we're considering first Christ's learned tongue, because Christ says here, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned. And then secondly, to consider the Christian's learned tongue. This is that which we ought to seek to have and to grow in, having a tongue that would be learned and that would speak a word in season to the one that is weary. And so firstly then, a learned tongue to heed. This is the tongue we are to listen to. It's Christ's tongue. And we see there, it is a tongue given. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned. Now, for Christ to say this, he has to be speaking as the Christ, as the Messiah, as according to his humanity and his humiliation. The Bible speaks of Jesus as the Word, as in the Son, as the eternal Son of God, as the Word of God. He's the eternal Word of God. And as the eternal Word of God, he doesn't need to be given anything. He is learning in that sense. But here he is speaking as the incarnate servant of God, the Word made flesh. And he says, the Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned. Now, if we look in the Bible, we see there is much testimony of Christ's learned tongue. And when we want to read a number of passages, and when we think on Christ's mouth and what he spoke, we learn that to have a learned tongue is not just about knowledge or doctrine, but it is, as Isaiah says here, about knowing how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. It's applied knowledge, and appropriately applied knowledge. And so if we think of Christ's tongue, we can begin in the word of prophecy, and in Isaiah, back in chapter 49, verse 1 and 2. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. He hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. So we see there the Lord God, Father, equipping his Son as his servant by making his mouth to be a sharp sword. And we think of the descriptions of the Bible, the Word of God, is a sharp sword, living and active, that pierces, that divides, even, as it were, soul and spirit. We look also in terms of prophecy in Isaiah 61. And again, the servant speaks, verse 1 and 2, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Notice again the emphasis on that which comes out of the mouth. There's the preaching, there's the proclaiming, there's comfort coming from that mouth, and enabled by God, a mouth given by God. The Spirit of God enabling these things. Psalm 45, verse 2. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore, God hath blessed thee forever. So that's in terms of some prophecies of Christ and of his learned tongue. But what about when we come to his ministry upon the earth? What do we see? Well, there in Matthew chapter 7, verse 29, after that Sermon on the Mount from chapters 5 through 7, we find the people astounded, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So there was authority there. He wasn't saying, oh, well, this person says and that person says and I'll leave it up to you. He said, no, this is the truth. This is what is right, with authority. Thus saith the Lord. Matthew 13, verse 54, we read, and when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, inasmuch that they were astonished, and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? So we do see that something of this learned tongue, when Christ speaks of having been given the tongue of the learned, he certainly had great knowledge, and great wisdom, and he spoke the truth, and he spoke it with authority. But also, and as we think on Christ and his ministry, we can understand something of what Isaiah refers to here, where Christ through Isaiah, "Thou hast given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary." And to, don't we see in Christ, in his ministry, don't we see words in season? We certainly see that as words at the appropriate time to the to each person. We certainly see words to the weary. You think of Christ comforting those who came to him, and those who came with their sicknesses, with their diseases, and reaching out and touching him, and doing so with such fear that he said, "Go, thy faith has saved thee," and lifting them up in that sense. Think of those words to the weary, such well-known words there in Matthew chapter 11. "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Words to the weary, to humble sinners, to weak saints, to the disciples, in their times of doubt and fear. Yes, there was rebuke there, but also great comfort. And yet also at the same time, certainly the focus by Isaiah on a word in season to him that is weary. But there were many seasonal words, appropriate words, to those who were proud, to those who were rebellious, to those who were hardened. And whether it be also to the disciples at times when they were disbelieving, and he had to reprove them and rebuke them for their hardness of heart, we're told in the Gospels, or whether to the Pharisees and to the Herodians and to those who were opposing him and opposing and hindering others, many, from entering the kingdom. We see Christ's learned tongue, not only in what he said, but also in how he said it and when he said it, that it was in season. Well, we're told here something further about this learned tongue. So, this tongue given by God, and that he might know how to speak that word in season to him that is weary, he wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. And here is something of an explanation of how Christ was given this learned tongue. Now again, we might say, well, but Christ is the eternal Son of God. He's the eternal Word who was in the beginning with God and was God. And he spoke all things into existence, and he knows all. He's omniscient. He knows everything. But we are speaking of Christ in his humiliation. And we have to remember that Christ, as he came to earth, the marvel of the incarnation and being conceived in the womb of Mary by the Holy Spirit, he, in his humanity, started from nothing, where we all start. And we're told, and it's astounding, isn't it, that to think about that in terms of Christ, because he is the God-man, and he was the God-man, then, that what Luke says in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favour with God and man." He increased in stature, so he grew up. He was a tiny baby, and then he got bigger, and then he was born, and then he grew, and then he was a boy. There in Luke chapter 2, at the end of it, he was 12, so he'd grown up. He was a bigger boy, coming into a young man, and he grew into manhood. He grew in stature, but he also grew in wisdom. He wasn't there as, we're not to think of him there, and there are certain fables, really, you'd say, of Christ as a child, where doing, saying all sorts of astounding things in that sense, because they say, well, he was God, and so he knew all things, but he limited himself in his humanity. And so he wasn't there as a toddler, reading the minds of his toddler playmates. as it were. Certainly, when we come to his ministry, and when there was that anointed from on high by the Spirit for the work of the ministry, there we see him as God, and that's it, knowing the thoughts of men and reading the minds of men and doing these mighty, showing that omniscience. And yet even then, Christ said, in his while he was upon the earth, at least, the day or the hour of his return was known only to the Father, not to the angels, not even to the Son. We find that in the Gospel of Mark. So there's something of Christ's humiliation here. He had this learned tongue because God had given it to him, and the expression here, he wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear to hear as to learn. It's that God the Father was instructing Christ. Christ was learning. He as a child, he learnt the Holy Scriptures. Now he had an unblemished mind, so he wasn't unduly distracted from the Scriptures, we so often are, whether as children or as older, and he remembered it, he hid it in his heart, and he did not sin against God, and so those things which we fall short in, yet there is this, that he had this learned ear, because he had, he had this learned tongue, because he had this learned ear, and he was growing in that sense, while he was upon the earth in his in this learning. And Christ himself, when he was upon the earth, he frequently emphasized, and particularly John brings this out in his gospel, that what he was speaking, wasn't his own word. It wasn't that which just came from himself. It was that which the Father had given him. And one of those occasions in John 8 verse 28, he says, we read, "Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things." And perhaps one other passage for confirmation, and in John chapter 12, verse 49, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak." And so Christ emphasized that what he said, that was that which the Father had given to him. Christ, as a man, as the God-man, but in his humanity, he had a learned tongue because he was taught by God. And this is so important when we come to, a learned tongue to have, that we might gain such a tongue. This is, how might we gain such a tongue? How might we gain, in that sense, the tongue of Christ? In the way that we speak to others, we must learn of God. But before we get there, God gave Christ his tongue, and Christ spoke the word of God. We must listen to him. God said to Christ, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." And we have to hear him. Christ has given us the whole of the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament. We're told by Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1 that the Spirit of Christ spoke through the prophets of old as they looked ahead to see what it was and that they were prophesying of, and to understand the details of it. We're to hear Christ in the Old and in the New, which he's given from his own lips and when he was in the, as he was in the flesh, and through the apostles and prophets. And we're to hear his commandments. We're to hear His gospel. Hear Him. And we're not to hear Him and think of Him as one teacher among many. You know, for many in the world, whether they be, well, there are a lot of people today, they don't really know anything about Christ, but where there is some knowledge of Him, in the midst of other religions or in the midst of philosophies and so on, there's often an acknowledgement of Jesus being a good teacher, of saying good things about, for example, loving your neighbour and so on. That's the types of things that are held on to. But they will not have Him as the only teacher, or the teacher sent by God as the one and only Son of God. They would have Him as just one among many, and someone to be weighed with all the others. But God has given Him that tongue. And that tongue that would speak a word in season to Him that is weary. And that tongue that would speak that word that we need. And it is the only word in that sense that we need if we would have life. We must know that He is the one who has the stamp of God upon Him. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And we can only go to the Father through Him. See, Christ said, I speak those things that the Father has taught me. He represented God. And we have His word. And that is where we must go if we would know God. He reveals God to us. And especially as we think of that, what Isaiah says here, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. That in the gospel, there is that word to us who are weary with sin. There is that word to those who labour and are heavy laden. Come to me. Stop chasing after the things of the world. Stop wearing yourself out in seeking to please God, seeking to earn His favour, seeking to find your salvation in any other way. We can look there in just a bit further over in Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? See, Jesus says, come to me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. And some people interpret that as that Christ is, that the invitation is to those who are convicted of sin, who know their sin and are weary of it and are looking for a solution. And what, ultimately it is only when you know your sin that you will heed that invitation and go to Him. But as we look, compare that with what Isaiah says here and what God says here through Isaiah, He describes all men in the world who are labouring. As sinners, they're spending money, they're spending their time, they're spending their resources, they're labouring, they're working for the things of the world, whatever that might be. And it might look religious or it might look not religious, but they're spending their lives for the things which ultimately won't save them and they won't satisfy them. And God calls them to Himself and says, come. Come and you will be fed. Come and you will have life. And that's what Jesus is doing. His invitation echoes these words. And that's that. You know, when we think of listen to Christ, that is the word in season that is seasonable at all times and for all of us, for every single person. Come to me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. Have you heard that word? Have you heard that invitation? Have you heard that word to you as you labour in this world, wherever you are labouring in? Have you heeded that word? Are you listening for Him? Are you listening to Him? Think of what Jesus says in John 10, verse 27. My sheep
hear my voice. And I know them and they follow me and I give unto them eternal life. This is the voice that we need to be listening for and listening to. Here is life found in giving heed to this tongue, tongue of the learned, even in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we will find if we heed that tongue, for there is life and forgiveness, eternal life. There we will find comfort. There we will find relief. There we will find help. There we will find challenge. There we will find rebuke. We will find to go to Christ, to His Word, we will find a word in season. Now we can go, this is why it's so important to be in the Scriptures, to be reading the Scriptures, to be hearing the Scriptures. Because the Bible, the whole Bible, the whole count is that which is sufficient for us, for life in this world. It's the counsel of God, and we will find there, in its many pages, we'll find there that which is seasonable for different times. And so if we would know the Scriptures, then we can go for ourselves, and we'll come to in a minute for others. We can go to the promises of God. We can go to the commandments of God. We can go to the instruction of God to find comfort, but also to be challenged, to be reproved, to be set on the right way. But also, and we can know there is a word in season there for us as we would be in the Scriptures. But also there are those times, aren't there, and that's often when we don't know where to go, we don't know where to look. But know that God, and even our Lord Jesus Christ, by His Holy Spirit, that He ministers His Word. And whether it is then, as you're just reading the next verse, reading the next chapter, as you're moving, as you're going through where you're up to, that the Lord, ask the Lord to bless His Word to you, ask Christ to minister to you, and know that He will. And it can be there in your own secret worship or in the family worship, that portion that's read on that day, or in the preaching or in the public Bible readings, that the Lord will have just a word in season to you at a particular time and different time. And I won't say often, but sometimes in my own experience, and I know other ministers have had this too, that there'll be someone who will come and say, well, that thing that you said that was just so applicable to my very circumstance, and we might sort of wonder what it was that we said exactly, and it might have even been from the Scripture that was read, or in the prayer something that was mentioned, also just in the preaching, and in just the regular preaching through the Scriptures, that the Lord takes His Word and applies it and gives that comfort to the weary, rebuke to those who are straying, a calling back, a word in season. So we have the word of Christ, a learned tongue that we must heed to. Are you listening for His tongue? Are you listening to Him? But then secondly, a learned tongue to have. So a learned tongue to heed, that is Christ, and a learned tongue to have. But here is, this is speaking chiefly of Christ, but there is also, and we think of that in the Bible, there is so much about our tongues, about our mouths, about how we speak and what we speak. And Christ here is an example for us and as to how our mouths should be, and also how we can gain such a mouth. And so we should go to Christ, because He has that learned tongue, to go to Him for instruction and for comfort, to seek strength from Him. But also, we're instructed how we can have a learned tongue. How can we have such a tongue, such a mouth, that would speak a word in season? that would speak a word in season to him that is weary. But if we would have a learned tongue, we must have a learned ear. Christ had a learned tongue because he had a learned ear. He spoke the word that his Father gave him. We need a learned ear. We need to learn. And from whom should we learn? Where do we go to hear? Let's think of, again, there in Matthew chapter 11, Christ says, "Come to me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." What does he say then? "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." And so we can learn from Christ. He is the one who reveals the Father to us. He's the one who reveals God to us. We see God and his glory in the face of Jesus Christ. And so if we would learn anything about God and about the service of God, we should go to Christ. Christ who has given us his word. And as we think of this learned tongue and understanding, we remember that as something to seek. It is not just knowledge. It's not just doctrine. It's not just intellect. Christ had all those things perfectly. But from what Isaiah says, and we see it in Christ's ministry, Christ didn't come giving academic lectures. Academic theological lectures, no doubt. He certainly spoke true and accurate theology at all times. But it was true wisdom, applied doctrine, seasonably done. And we see here, "The Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I may know," that I should know rather, "how to speak a word in season to him that is weary." It's not enough. Yeah, it's the same in any area of life. You know, whether it's a doctor or a scientist or a mathematician or a politician or whatever it is, and also a minister, they can know something and be able to say something in maybe big long words that other scientists and mathematicians and doctors can understand. But if they can't break that down, if that can't be broken down and made understandable to the person who needs to receive that knowledge, the patient, the person who's buying that product, whatever it is, the one listening to the minister, then that's useless. It's the knowledge and application. It's the word, not only, you know, not a bare word of truth, but a word in season to the one that is weary. And that's what we see here. That's what we see in Christ preeminently. And that is what we can seek him. That's what's set before us here, that we might seek it. A word in season. A word that's appropriate. Yes, it's true. Well, let's say in this instance it goes without saying. It is true. It's sound doctrine. But it's appropriate. It's measured. It's seasoned. Now, the Proverbs are full of instruction in this matter concerning our tongue. And a number of Proverbs in terms of this word in season. Proverbs 15 verse 1. "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." Proverbs 15 verse 23. "A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it." Proverbs 15 verse 28. "The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things." He studieth to answer. He thinks before he speaks, rather than just opening his mouth and letting whatever is in coming out. Proverbs 25 verse 11. "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver." What is the word fitly spoken, well spoken, appropriately spoken? It's a beautiful thing. It speaks of that word in season to him that is weary. And especially, and we know that Christ in his ministry, there is much of mercy and kindness and encouragement and comfort. But we're not to think that a word to the weary is only those things. The Bible speaks of those who are weary in well-doing. They're weary, they're feeling weary of following the way of God, the way of his commandments, because it's hard. They're tired of it and they want to give up. And at those times, it's not so much comfort as rebuke that is needed. We see something of that through the Apostle Paul in Hebrews chapter 12. He's been pointing to Christ in verse 3. He says, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." So he's pointing them to Jesus and to his sufferings. But look at how he continues. "Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children." So he's saying, you actually, it's not too bad. You're weary because you've got some opposition and you're faint and you're thinking of giving up, but don't. Don't stop striving against them. He challenges them and he's saying, you've forgotten what you've been taught. So that word in season to the weary, yes, we ought to be, perhaps to some of us, challenge comes easier than comfort. And we need to hear, follow the example of Christ, where so often there is that comfort and that help and that mercy. We need to show mercy and remember our own frailties and that gentleness. But also, there needs to be instruction, there needs to be challenge, there needs to be rebuke. And so if we think on this word in season, and we think on that word to him that is weary, a great part of what we need, if we would have this learned tongue, if we would have as it were, the tongue of Christ, if we would, the Bible speaks of, that we have the mind of Christ. Well, if we would speak the words of Christ one to another and be as Christ to one another, we need to be learning not just what to say, that is important, but also how to say it and when to say it. And this is important for ministers, particularly, for elders also, for others who instruct, parents, others in authority, particularly in terms of teaching. Because as we read in James chapter 3, those who teach masters, they'll be judged with a stricter judgment. They labour with words in public and private, and they must use those words carefully and appropriately and faithfully, and say the right things to the right people. Much wisdom is required. Listen to what Ezekiel said. And speaking, he was speaking to false prophets in his day. And the condemnation was, he says, "Because with lies ye have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and strengthened the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked way, by promising him life." So you see there, so they were coming to those perhaps who were struggling, believers who were struggling. And they were not encouraging them and strengthening them and stirring them up with the promises of God. They were making them sad. They were casting them down. But on the other hand, they were coming to the wicked, to the hypocrites, and they were not rebuking them. They were not challenging them in their hypocrisy and wickedness. Rather, they were just bringing comfort to them and saying, "Peace, peace." But there was no peace. They're promising them life. So there needs to be that knowing, not only what to say, but who to say it to and how and when.
2 Timothy 2, verse 24 and 25. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure would give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth.
So there is that gentleness, meekness, not striving. Now, we look at the example of Christ and the apostles and the prophets. Obviously that involves confronting evil, confounding the gainsayers and so on. But meekness and seeking that God will work. So it's important for ministers, and that's why the scriptures exhort us to be praying for those who labour in the word and in prayer. I ask you to pray for me for wisdom, not only in preaching, but in counsel and in all things. But this is not only for ministers, and certainly I myself, I mean, this passage is one I go to in prayer, asking God would give me such a tongue. But for all believers, and certainly those who, as I said, have authority over others and are in positions of teaching, and even if that's formally, such as parents or officers in the church or in other situations, but also in family situations, of grandparents, of uncles and aunts, of older siblings, that we, to those who would be teaching, but also to all of us, that we would have such a tongue to be speaking the truth to one another in love, to be building up, not tearing down. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14, after Paul has instructed the Christians there about their responsibilities, their duties to their elders, he says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men." He's talking to all the members of the church. He's talking to all the believers. They have this responsibility. And if they have the responsibility, then they have the need for a learned tongue. Hebrews 10, verse 24, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." We have that. That's one of the one another's of the New Testament. Consider one another. Think about one another. Pray for one another. But consider that you might stir up each other to love and to good works. How can we have such a tongue? How can we have a learned tongue that will build up and not tear down? A learned tongue that would be to think on what the Proverbs say, that would bring healing and life, would be a tree of life rather than that which brings death. That when we open our mouth, it wouldn't be firebrands and arrows being hurled at other people or a sword cutting them down, but it would be building them up. And that building up, yes, it includes challenge when necessary and rebuke, but building up, edifying, strengthening. But firstly, when we come to verses like this and think of the implications of them, when we come to James chapter 3, we need to be realizing our sin. We need to be going to Christ and confessing our sins to him. Think of Isaiah, prophet of God, who takes to be a godly man. There, when he was confronted by God and the vision in the temple, cried out, he's smitten in his heart by his sin and the sins of his tongue. Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And so, if we would have a learned tongue, we must go to Christ. We must confess our sins and seek his mercy. Not think that we are without sin in this place, as James says, as he's a perfect man that can bridle his tongue. To go to him, but then learn from him. Jesus says, come to me, I'll give you rest, and learn of me. To learn of him, learn from Christ what it is to have a learned tongue. Learn doctrine. Doctrine matters. It matters to know the truth, to know the truth about God, to know the truth about his commandments, to know the truth about ourselves, to know the truth about the gospel, about what Christ, who Christ is, about what Christ has done, about how a sinner can be saved from their sins. We need to know these things. If we were to be able to bring a word in season to anyone concerning the things of God, we need to know the truth of God, and we need to be seeking to grow in the knowledge of God in all these things. We must go, as Isaiah says, to the law and to the testimony. Let's go and study the scriptures. And ministers are to be studying to show themselves as workmen approved. But that applies to all God's people according to the situation that God has placed you in, that we're to be searching the scriptures to find Christ there, to know him. And so there must be doctrine, but not just doctrine. There can be that doctrine in heart that is hard. The Pharisees had doctrine, and yes, some of it was false, but a lot was sound. Jesus tells us that. But they had stony hearts, so many of them. Yes, some of them were converted later on. Stony hearts. And that God would take out that heart of stone and give them heart of flesh. We need to be stirring ourselves up that we would be humble before God, that we would not be wise in our own eyes. So that's a problem. So often those who take upon themselves to teach others, they do so because they think they know it all. But beware someone who will not be taught, who wants to teach because they know it all. The Bible warns about being wise in your own eyes, being wise in your own conceits, being conceited. It's all the same thing. Rather, there must be meekness. Rather, there needs to be a listening ear. And looking again at Isaiah, he wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear to hear as the Lord. If you would have a learned tongue, a tongue that would build up others and that would speak a word in season to all, including the weary, you need to be instructed by God. You need to be taught by God that, as it were, morning by morning you would be learning from God, that you would have a listening ear, a learning ear. See, it's interesting, isn't it? A learned ear. So we might think of a learned tongue. Oh, that's someone who knows. And so they're holding forth, they're speaking. But if someone is truly learned, they will have a learned ear. Because they're learning. They're always learning. They have learned and they are still learning. So we need to learn from the Word what to speak and how to speak and when to speak. In terms of content, well, we have to hold the Scriptures in terms of what to speak. But in terms of how to speak, we have principles set forth before us in the Word of God, but also so many examples, especially of our Lord Jesus, but of the apostles and the prophets and godly men and women, that we might learn how to speak a word in season. But then with all these things, and even as we think of learning from the Word, we have to be learning from Christ. And that means spending time with Christ, in his Word, and in prayer. In the Acts of the Apostles, we read of the work of Christ in his church, and through his church in the world. And we see there in those early chapters how the Spirit of God lifted up the disciples, the apostles, and use them mightily. And there in Acts chapter 4, we have Peter and John, and the Lord have been using them, they've been preaching the gospel, and many have been converted under them, and mighty works were done. And we're told that they came before the Jewish council, And in verse 13, after Peter had been just preaching to them, we read this. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. It's a marvelous statement. It's a wonderful statement, because they were unlearned and ignorant men. They were fishermen. They were just common labourers. And yet, the words that came from their mouth were such as that the people had marvelled at Christ. They spoke with authority. And they spoke with grace. And there was an effect. And all that these unbelieving Jews could put it down to was that they had been with Jesus. They were like Jesus. Now, we don't have that privilege that they had to be 3 years night and day with Christ and being instructed by him and being in his presence and eating with him and so on. Christ is in heaven, but he has not left us fatherless. He's given us his word and he's given us his Holy Spirit. And we have access to him. We can go to him. He's promised to be where his people are gathered in the public worship. We can call upon him at any time. We can take up his word. We still have liberty to read his words. And we can take it up at any time as we have opportunity to study it. And we can ask that he would teach us by it, that he would speak to us, to give us ears to hear, and that we can spend that time with him in communion and in prayer. And so as we think about this learned tongue, it's a thing desirous to have not only knowledge, but knowledge that would help others and help them at the right time and in the right way. The truth, apply. We need to know it first. We can know that truth. We know Christ. And then he would work through us to help others. Do you know him? Are you listening to him? Are you spending time with him? Are you reading his word? Could others look at you? And as they hear what you're saying, would they wonder, have you been with Jesus? Amen. Well, let us now stand up and pray to God. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for the word of Christ. We ask that thou would give ears to hear, that we might know thy truth, that we might learn wisdom, most of all that wisdom in the fear of God, that we might be wise unto salvation through faith which is in him. And that, by thy grace, as we heed his learned tongue, we might tame our tongues, that our tongues would be useful as instruments in thy hand to build up others. Teach us sound doctrine. Teach us thy truth, but also teach us that we may use it aright, as regards ourselves, as regards others. Oh, that we might have a learned tongue, that we might speak a word in season to the one that is weary, that we might build up one another and glorify thee. We ask through Christ our Saviour. Amen.